fact, I don't even want to refer to him as a speaker because they're the speakers. Whenever I've gone to various churches and we have with us our speaker, and I want to just get up and go, just stand there kind of squarish. But before we begin, it is our custom to look to the Lord in a few moments of silent prayer. And that silent prayer is designed for two things. One, for the academic disciplines that are necessary to be attentive as the man is speaking to us. And then two, the power of the Spirit that is available through confession. Remember, if we have any known sin in our life, all we have to do is cite it, confess it, acknowledge it, we're cleansed, and immediately filled with the Spirit. So with that in mind, let's take a few moments in silence. Grateful that we have the right and privilege to boldly approach the throne of grace through the way that has been made open to us by thy Son, our Savior. We've gathered here this evening to be obedient to thy word and to listen to him who is to speak to us. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us as we continue our spiritual advance to the high calling we have in Christ. For we ask in his name, amen. Okay, as I said earlier, I don't know much about the missionary work that he is doing, he and his wife. As a matter of fact, about 10 minutes ago was the first time I met the man. And so, without any further introduction, since I have nothing to say with regard to introduction, I will give the pulpit over to Walter Zerflew. Walter?
Or a biographical sketch and a news release, so there was a little bit of information there. We have been here before, but not to a meeting such as this. We have been here twice on two occasions at the Christian school here, the I think you call it private school, and have had the privilege of sharing with the young people and the children here in your school. And so that's why I took it upon myself to call and see if we could come for an evening service. Well, I was going to come 2 weeks ago, but then I realized it was awfully hard to schedule meetings over Palm Sunday and Easter. And so we came tonight instead of a couple of weeks ago. So we're glad to share with you tonight the Ministry of Biblical Literature Fellowship. Just by way of introduction, my wife and I are from Kansas. It gets hot there, but not this hot, I guess, as in Phoenix. I graduated from Kansas State University in agricultural economics after having served 21 months in the service, and moved to Topeka, Kansas, our capital city, and there worked as an agricultural statistician with the U.S. government and Kansas State Board of Agriculture. And it was while I was attending Topeka Bible Church that I met Nancy, and after some months, we were married, and our honeymoon was coming to California to go to school. And so we have lived in California some years, but we have also served on the field in Europe, in Berlin particularly. We were there in 1957 to 62, and if you'll remember your history, it was August 13th, 1961, when the wall was built between the two parts of Berlin. We were there. We observed it being built. And so our work for 34 years was Eastern Europe. And so when you mentioned the Ukraine, we were just there in 92 in Kiev, the capital city. At that time, it gets a little complicated, but 34 years with Eastern European Mission, we merged together with another mission called Slavic Gospel Association. They retired us, and we said, well, we're too young to retire. At least we have good health and strength, and Russia is just opening up, as you know, from your reports and your emails, I'm sure, from the Ukraine. And Eastern Europe's opening up. Berlin is being reunited, and who wants to quit now? And so And I said, well, my wife's a little younger than I am, so she was too young to retire. So we decided, the Lord really decided for us, through a friend up in Vancouver, British Columbia, said, Walt, what are you going to do now that you're supposedly retired? And we said, well, we don't want to retire. We want to continue on in the Lord's work. So he said, I know where you're needed. You're needed with Biblical Literature Fellowship. It happened that he was related to Mrs. Croker, whose husband founded the mission. But nevertheless, we applied and were accepted. And for the last 4 years, 4.5 years, we've been with Biblical Literature Fellowship after having served 36 years in ministry to Eastern Europe. Just to give you a little bit of introduction as to who we are, my wife went through Biola, and we went to the field and have served on the field. Now we are representing full-time Biblical Literature Fellowship out of Pasadena, California, in the western states. And so we're on our itinerary now, beginning in Phoenix and heading through Tucson and El Paso and on east all the way to Florida and back. So we're just beginning. And we don't make unusually long trips like that, but the Lord has opened up many opportunities to share the ministry of BLF. Well, what is BLF and why did it come into existence? Did you know? Let me just give you some statistics here from Europe. Now, my grandparents all came from Switzerland, so we've been there several times because we lived in Germany. It was just a hop, skip, and a jump down to Switzerland, and every time we've gone back, we've tried to visit our relatives there just to get the feel of the situation, and woe be unto you, you say, are you a Christian? Of course I'm a Christian, but they never go to church. They don't show any Christian life. They don't show the fruits of the Spirit. What do you do? Well, we have Americans like that too, but and how we run into this again and again and again in Berlin. Except when the bombs are dropping, our landlady said, everybody goes to church. When the bombs are dropping, go back to Germany now when they've got their Mercedes and they've got their all their material things. And most people could care less. Not that church attendance is that important. You know that as well as I, that it's our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and work and serving Him. I just come across some statistics. In the 1980s, there was one Muslim mosque opened in Britain, Great Britain, every 2 weeks on the average. Not so many now, but just think that there was that period of time in the 80s when the Muslims were opening a new mosque, a rate of expansion that's similar to France and Germany. We've been there. We know we've seen many of these. We've been in Hamburg, Germany, where so many Turks have come in with their religion. And it's been a real heartache in a sense because Germany is the land of Martin Luther. And that tremendous Reformation that took place there. Now, West Germany, there are 30,000 Christian clergy. 30,000 Christian clergy in Germany, at least West Germany at that time. But there are three times as many, 90,000 registered witches and fortune tellers. Germany, of all places. See what happens when we get into a state church political type situation that well, we lose out somewhere. 30,000 Christian clergy of all types, three times as many registered witches and fortune tellers. Well, let's get to France, and that's what we want to talk about, France, Belgium, the French-speaking world. In France, there are 40,000 professional astrologers, 40,000 registered professional astrologers for income tax purposes. So they are registered with the government, compared with 26,000 Roman Catholic priests. And you'll see right away that France is Roman Catholic. And we're not throwing stones at anybody tonight. We're not criticizing other religions. It's just the way it is. And so there was a couple that left Dallas, Oregon, a number of years ago to go to the Belgian Congo, Abe and Mary Croker. And there they began to evangelize. You'll see a little bit of this in the video. And realized after 20 years of ministry, they were constantly frustrated because of a lack of good Bible Christian literature. How would we be here today if we didn't have the scriptures and good Bible study materials to use? Well, they were frustrated. What would they do? They had nothing. So they began to translate some Sunday school materials they got from the States into their local language or into French, because Belgian Congo spoke French officially. By the way, there are 21 French-speaking countries in Africa. 21. And then 21 around the rest of the world. 42 French-speaking countries around the world. And they had a great burden to get good Bible literature into the hands of the people. And so you see, when you go to France today, as I was there in the army back in the World War II, it was nothing out of the ordinary for the average secular-minded French husband to have a mistress on the side. This is back in World War II. So you see, these things are not new. Secularism, humanism, the whole thing has just run rampant. So if you can get a church of 20, 30, 40, 50 people in France, you have almost done a miracle. It is extremely difficult. And yet French is one of the major cultural languages of the world. You want to serve in the diplomatic corps? You must learn French so you can communicate in French with other diplomats and people in the diplomatic service. Of course, if you're going into economics and business, of course, you have to learn English. And that's what they are, everyone's so interested in learning English today. Well, it says in Isaiah 30, verse 8, "Now go, write it before them in a tablet, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever." Just think, if we didn't have the scriptures in our language, just think if we didn't have someone like William Tyndale, who was burned at the stake simply because he wanted to translate the scriptures from Latin, Hebrew, Greek into English. And for that, he paid with his life back in the 14th, 15th century. And we are recipients today of his work. And isn't it amazing, just a few months later, well, over a few months later, a man by the name of King James I authorized the first version, the King James Version. But that man, dear man, Tyndale, had to pay with his life, and many others, as you know, have martyred. Well, we haven't forgotten those areas, because we're getting literature to them now. The Bible in Pictures. Maybe you've seen this book in English. This is the French version, translated into French from Ken Taylor's book, The Bible in Pictures. I've seen it in Russian and Polish and French and many other languages. I've even seen it in modern Greek. We used to have ministry in Greece. And part of that ministry was translating this book into the modern Greek language. I thought, that's interesting. I took Greek in seminary, and now we're translating Christian literature into the Greek language, modern Greek, that is. And then, of course, we do have the scriptures, living word. It's something like the New International Version, NIV, I guess you'd say. But it's not a translation of it. It's translated from the Greek and the Hebrew, the original languages, into a more contemporary French. We ran into this all the time in Germany, France, and those Western European areas. For example, in Germany, they have the Luther Bible, which came out in about 1870. And the young people said, "We can't read that old script. Can you give us something we can read?" And the same in France. The official version is back also in the late 1800s, the Louis Segond version. And they need something they can read. Well, we haven't forgotten Eastern Europe. Basic Theology by Dr. Charles Ryrie of the Ryrie Study Bible, Dallas graduate. And we have this book in Romanian, Basic Theology. Now, I've been in Romania twice, and we've spoken there in some of the churches, Baptist churches. And if you saw any books like this, it was a miracle, because the only thing they had were just old tattered books of any kind that the communists didn't destroy. now that we have 2,500 copies of this version, or this basic theology, in Romanian. I remember the second time we came to Romania in 1987. This was before the demise of communism, when the pastor of the Trinity Baptist Church, fine brother, just a wonderful brother, preached the word, won young people to Christ. That was a felony in Romania at that time. If you had the audacity to win young people to Christ, that was a felony. You could go to prison for it. Well, he didn't go to prison at that time, but he was watched very carefully. I remember we came up to his apartment on about the third floor there in Bucharest, the capital city. First thing he did as he ushered us into the room was to take a huge pillow and put it right over the top of his telephone. I said, "Why do you do that?" He says, "My phone is bugged. The police can hear everything we say in this room." And so, well, that's all changed now. Now we can get books like this into Romania. In fact, I could show you a slide of the Lenin Publishing House in Bucharest that is now printing Christian literature in Bucharest. So things have changed. And then one more before we go to the video. This is Novi Zavjet. This is a Croatian English New Testament. So you'll see we are a printing ministry. We are not so much church planting and evangelists, but we are the arm of the church in printing ministry. This happens to be English Croatian. Well, who inspired such a thing? Well, the Croatian Baptist, you know where Croatia is? It's former Yugoslavia, the north. Croatia Baptist churches said, "Can you give us something in Croatian and English?" Well, why do you want it that way? Because our young people want to learn English. And we can't think of a better way to teach them English than from the New Testament. Oh, by the way, they said, we want them especially for Muslim young people, the Bosnian young people. They want to learn English. So they'll refuse anything else Christian, but they will learn English from the New Testament. And I thought, hey, that's kind of sneaky, isn't it? But no. Team, the Evangelical Alliance Mission, they've been using this method in Japan for many years. So we're thrilled to have a printing ministry that goes right into those hot spots like Romania, Croatia. Incidentally, you know that Croatia is Roman Catholic. Serbia is Eastern Orthodox. The Bosnians are primarily Muslims. So it's not only a political war, there's a religious war going on too. When you think of three different religions. No wonder Lenin said, "How in the world can one group of Christians, so-called, persecute another group of Christians?" He was referring to the Russian Orthodox Church and the Protestants, the Baptists. Why did the Russian Orthodox Church persecute the Baptists? And, well, he said, "Let's just throw out everything." And so they tried to, but God is faithful, God is powerful, God is sovereign, and so we have a whole change of situation in that Eastern European area. Now, I think we should go see the video. It's called A Debt We Owe. We have been the recipients of the gospel message from Europe, and now we need to take it back to them, almost like the third world has to bring it back to America, when you think of it. Can you, who's going to help me set this up here? Here he comes. The first people we'll see on the tape are Mr. and Mrs. Gibson. Mr. Gibson is our executive director who lives and works in Wheaton, Illinois. But our headquarters for printing and all is in Belgium, in Brussels, Belgium. And we'll show that in the video.
Because of your gifts, we are able to print and distribute literally thousands upon thousands of New Testament, Christian books, Sunday school material, tracts, and other Christian literature.
Amen.
anywhere at almost any time.
All right, let's get practical. In terms of how parenting begins to lay that foundation of values.
You know, people on earth are so blessed or owe so much. Comes from France, Belgium, England, Germany, all of Europe.
But the gospel lamp has gone out in Europe. Our roots are dead. Only empty, dead formalism remains.
Beginning with the Spanish Inquisition in the 1500s, religious wars forced many true Christians to flee Europe. Today, many countries of Europe have fewer evangelical believers than almost anywhere in the world. There are fewer Christians in Europe than all of India, Africa, Asia, or South America. In countries like Belgium, France, Greece, and Spain, less than 1% of the population are evangelicals.
The city of Brussels, Belgium, is the capital of Europe. With over 1 million residents there, there are only 15 small evangelical churches, averaging 50 in attendance. Europe is the world's most cultured and sophisticated continent, but it is suffering from the darkness caused by 200 years of humanism. European young people are so discouraged about the meaning of life that drug use by teenagers is far worse in Europe than in North America. Alain Lescarte, who is the radio voice of J. Vernon McGee on French radio, a seminary professor and a leading European youth evangelist, talked with a young Christian about the problem of drugs. Alain has asked Patrice, do you have friends with deep problems in their lives?
No, not really friends with really bad problems.
Mais j'ai beaucoup d'amis qui se droguent quand même.
But I have a lot of friends who have drug problems.
Des drogues.
But yeah, not very big, but not like heroin, small, like crack.
Et j'étais justement dans une classe presque tous les garçons mais
last year in my classroom almost all the boys were on the drug and smoking cracks.
Et le fait que j'étais le seul qui ne fumait pas, ça les intéressait, ils se posaient des questions.
And because I was the only one in the classroom who doesn't use drugs, everybody was surprised, and it was an opportunity for me to give testimony to them.
Et le fait aussi que je n'avais jamais essayé.
And also the fact that I didn't try even.
The suicide rate among European teenagers is tragic. However, there is hope for the people of Europe.
In a small town in Brussels, Belgium, is the Biblical Literature Fellowship publishing and printing plant. Almost all French evangelistic literature and Christian literature in many other languages is printed in this plant. This young man, Olivier, came to know Christ through a gospel tract. Now he comes weekly to the BLF bookstore where he spends 1/4 of his wages to buy Christian books for Bible study and then to pass them on to his friends.
For 36 years, BLF has been ministering to over 100 countries of the world, including the 40 French-speaking countries. In this modern plant is printed the most popular New Testament in the French language, Paro Vivant, along with the French translation of books by Warren Wiersbe, John MacArthur, and many others, over 500 titles.
BLF also prints Bible study and Sunday school materials,
children's books, tracts, and booklets in many other languages, including the African tribal languages, Russian, Romanian, Polish, Albanian, Slovakian, Czech, Croatian, Serbian, and many others.
Welcome to our publishing house here. Hope to have you back again.
In addition to Belgian workers and missionary staff, BLF welcomes work teams to help with the production of materials. Here, a work team is getting an introduction to the work they will be doing in the shop.
The operation of BLF's publishing house is headed by Bud Croker.
There's a process here. You know, printing is a very, very old trade, and I firmly believe that printing was invented to print the Bible. Here's a printing process that's also used a lot today. It's called offset or offset lithography. And that's just between these two because we print from a plate that's perfectly smooth. The image area is not raised on the plate whatsoever.
Bud Croker continues the plant tour, showing the work team the equipment they will use and the tasks they will perform during the week in the shop. No special skills are needed to participate on a work team, just willing hands and a willing heart. Each team provides valuable missionary labor, and a fun time is had by all. A recent team folded, collated, stitched, trimmed, and wrapped for shipment 40,000 Gospels of John in Polish and Hungarian. Just think of it, 40,000 copies of God's Word produced by an inexperienced team of willing Christians in just a week. Every work team visits the African Museum in Brussels. Here they learn of BLF's beginnings and vision.
Abe and Mary Croker left Dallas, Oregon in 1929, traveled across the U.S., took a freighter to Belgium, where they studied French, and they went on to the Belgian Congo in Africa. After landing, they went inland 600 miles, crossing many rivers, to establish their first mission station among tribal people, many of whom were cannibals. The Croker's oldest child, Bud, was born during that first term of service. The Crokers served 20 years in Africa. After the death of their second son, Philip, Abe and Mary felt that God was directing them to work in Europe. The Crokers began ministry in Metz, France. But during the 1958 World's Fair in Brussels, a special meeting of missionary statesmen from throughout Europe convened. God made clear that Abe and Mary Croker should establish a printing plant in Brussels, Belgium. And it was at that time the Biblical Literature Fellowship was officially founded. Its first headquarters and printing press were across the street from the World's Fair grounds. At the Africa Museum, this work team met Vatu Muhammad, who shared with them how the work of BLF has greatly helped reach millions of people in the 21 French-speaking countries of Africa.
And we're very interested about books, especially because we're a publishing house. And you take care of a library here in Zaire. Yes? The economic troubles of the country worry us very much, but the most important for me and for you is the ministry of since 1978, we've opened a whole chain of Christian libraries that we call the Life-Saving Library. For the moment, we have about, in six different towns, we've opened libraries that are open to everyone. Anyone can come.
BLF has two purposes. The first is to directly evangelize and disciple individuals through literature. And the second is to provide other missions, missionaries, and national Christians with the Christian literature so they may be more effective in their Christian lives and ministry. One of the missionaries president at the founding of BLF in 1958 was George Winston. Today, Reverend Winston is the senior evangelical missionary statesman in all of Europe. Here he is talking with General Director of BLF, Bud Croker.
Could you describe a little bit the situation of literature and the Christian outreach here in Belgium at that time? 1958, we're talking about.
Well, I remember that when I came to Belgium, came back to Belgium in 1952, that I was tremendously impressed with the lack of every type of literature. Literature for evangelism, literature for immediate follow-up of new Christians, and of course, the theological literature, literature concerning Bible studies. It was just very, very poor. And we can certainly say that the literature work of the Croker family has contributed greatly to completely alter that situation in the French-speaking world today. Of course, that's now, say, 30 years to 35 years later, but it has been very significant indeed.
Katrine is a European Christian who operates a Christian book table.
Tell us a little bit about how you were blessed by Christian books. In fact, Christian books have a lot of importance to me. When I became a Christian, very soon I felt the need to read and be able to learn more. At first, I started to read the Bible. Of course, it wasn't always easy for me, but especially for Paroles Vivantes, the version you print, because it is written in the modern French, was easy to understand, and it helped me to make progress in my Christian life. I feel Christian books can change the life of someone, just like they changed my life.
Luis Sobrino is a French evangelist. He's talking with Yvonne Vanderdus, the daughter of Bud and Char Croker.
What did you ministry now?
Well, right now I'm developing a ministry of evangelism, of mass evangelism, in the French-speaking countries in Europe.
And do you use any books?
Well, we use a lot of books. It's a tremendous need of literature. When I go in the streets, for example, I need a piece of sheet or a book that just to have the opportunity to speak to people. Then when we have the campaigns, we proclaim the word. What I realize is that people need to read something. It's okay to listen to a message, but I realize that people need time to assimilate the message, and that's done by the literature.
Do you think it's especially true for Belgian people in
France? Well, actually, yes, because we like to read. I think people read a lot of magazines, books, any kind of literature, and it's a natural way to present the gospel. But they're not surprised. It's a natural way of communicating the gospel.
Louise's wife, Diane, is also thankful for BLF.
Diane is a mother of two little tots, a boy, Raphael, and a little girl, Rebecca. And Diane, I remember when Raphael was just 1 year old, you came into the bookstore, and these little books that we printed immediately caught your eye, and you wanted to take one to him. You remember that?
Louise wants to give. Yes, I remember. I remember that I came here because sometimes you want your children to learn some principles. You want to teach them some Bible lessons. It's hard if we don't have any support. With these books, I was able to teach some simple truths to Raphael. Truths that now he knows, that he repeats every day, and he really learned precious and deep things.
In fact, he would ask you to read them every night.
God is using BLF to befriend and disciple some of the upper levels of society in Europe. Al Kamini is a nurse, and her husband works for the European Union headquarters in Brussels.
Bonjour.
Hello. I was born in Spain. I have a Greek nationality. I came to Belgium because of all the difficulties that took place in my country. My parents sent me to Belgium to get out of some of the troubles over there.
They're leaving this afternoon on vacation, and so she wants to go pick up a book to give to somebody to take along with her.
One of the best gifts that I can give anyone at different occasions, birthday, Christmas, is to give a book. because reading is something that really develops our faith, feeds our faith. So I'm so happy to be able to give people a book that I find in the bookstore that helps me and that can help them too.
In most of Europe, there are more adherents to cults than to biblical Christianity. In Belgium, there are more Jehovah's Witnesses than all evangelical and mainline Protestant Christians put together. Because of this, BLF publishes books and pamphlets designed to counteract these lies. Remember the young man, Olivier, who saw coming for a bookstore at the BLF printing plant? Listen to how BLF literature helped him win his brother, a Jehovah's Witness, to the Lord.
It's true that I really like to read, especially all the books that I buy. I like to share them with other people. I like to help other people discover what I've discovered myself through these books. I lend the books to many people who ask me questions. People in other cults, occultism, especially my brother. He was a Jehovah's Witness, 40 years old. We spent many long evenings discussing the depth of this problem, digging into God's Word, all the different tendencies of different people, different things the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. And I loaned him two books on the world of the cults, and also a book, Light of Jehovah's Witnesses. It's published here. Through these books and the evenings we spent together, my brother completely changed. He became a Christian and quit Jehovah's Witnesses. We were really, really happy. It was a family celebration.
There is no doubt that God has blessed America.
But there are millions of French-speaking people sliding into eternity without Christ.
We enjoy the benefits of the gospel,
while others live in spiritual darkness and oppression.
Christ died for all.
But many living today have never heard.
We have hymnals and Bibles and other Christian literature.
Many people have no Christian literature at all.
Bud and Char Croker and all of us at Biblical Literature Fellowship cannot face these challenges alone. We depend on the Holy Spirit for guidance and the faithful prayers of friends like you. Some have already committed themselves to pray, and some to provide so that BLF can print and distribute thousands of pieces of Christian literature every month. And you too can be part of our BLF support team and join hands with us in reaching the many peoples of Europe and Africa who live in eternal darkness without Christ. Here.
This will just give you a brief overview of the great spiritual needs of the French-speaking world when we think of Europe and Africa particularly, of course, Quebec, Haiti, even Southeastern Asia. We even sent a lot of literature to Cambodia, and I was amazed at that. To Cambodia? Well, you see, their whole school system is still based on the French system. Yeah, they used to be French Indochina. And so it's amazing how literature, gospel literature, Bible literature, and I like that name, biblical literature, because that's what we produce, and into these areas. Noticed all the beautiful Christians that we saw on the video in the French-speaking area. They make up less than 1% of the population. And so thank God they have a French evangelist. We saw two of them, actually, and a seminary teacher. But they need help. And this is where we can come in to help them in printing literature. France is primarily about 90-some percent Roman Catholic, so they're not particularly interested in evangelical fundamental Bible literature. But we're glad to say that they are at least letting us print it. Belgium even gives us visas to come in and to print the literature there in Brussels, I think largely because Brussels is the capital of Europe. You know that every one of these used to be called common market countries, now called the European Community of Nations. have to practice religious freedom. And that's one of the conditions. And so even Greece, and I was amazed at that because Greece is 99.99% Orthodox. If you are Greek, you are Orthodox. And if you are evangelical, you are a heretic. Excuse me. I'm just telling it like it is. Apparently we have a Greek. But you're a born-again Greek, right? Well, I hope I haven't said anything to offend anybody. But but you know the situation. And when you're there, your heart's broken because they don't know the Lord. And when you see your dear brothers and sisters in countries like Greece and other, where they are persecuted for their faith and their stand on the Scriptures, much like in a Muslim country today, it just breaks your heart. And so we're just glad that even though we don't live in France, that we can produce French literature. We have about 500 titles now in the French language, all the way from scripture cards to Sunday school materials to books and commentaries by Warren Wiersbe and others now available in French. Now, I wish we could give that literature away, but we're just not able to do that. So we do sell the literature. It's a very heavily subsidized price, but at least in Africa, we do have that opportunity to give some literature to Africa. About a ton a month goes into Africa free, and that is simply because of God's people who make it possible to do it through the literature sponsorship program. And so this is one way we can get literature. We just get hundreds of letters from French-speaking Christians in Africa, nationals and so on, who just beg and plead for literature. And I still can see Joseph Prober's face. Joseph Prober was from Poland. This was back before communism fell. Joseph Prober was allowed to come over to visit us here in Pasadena from Poland. And that was at the time when there was a huge publishing house called Gospel Light Publications was still in Glendale, California. And they've since moved up to Ventura. But we took him over just to show him a Christian bookstore. And I don't know if you can imagine it or not, but that dear man stood at the door, and he's a cultured man, is an excellent violinist, so he was very well-educated. And a lovely brother came out of the Brethren movement in Poland. And he stood at the door, and I just saw his jaw drop. I mean, just tons of literature everywhere. Christian books, literature, you know, the whole gamut that you can go into any Christian bookstore and get. And he says, why do you have so much in America and English, and we have so little in Poland? It's changed now, thank the Lord, because there are many, many more books now in Poland than there used to be. But when you get these heartfelt messages and tears, so to say, begging for Bible literature, we have it in plenty. Last July, we were at Anaheim Convention Center, and they had the National Christian Booksellers Association Convention. Have you ever been to one? I mean, Hall A, B, C, and D. I mean, just seemed to me hundreds of Christian publishers, Christian books, literature. Just at least scores of them everywhere. Lord, why so much in English and so little in French or in other languages? Why so much in English? Well, we have so much. We've been so blessed. And maybe in just the closing moments, we can just share two or three things with, we're going to have a little alliteration. It's called three P's in a pod, three P's. First of all, we need prayer. We need prayer because Satan is not pleased that this literature is being printed. We need to keep the presses running. We need to keep the paper coming in to print. We need the workers. We need prayer, and Satan, of course, will do anything that he can to hinder that work. We're not a large mission. We don't have a lot of people, but it's amazing that we have sent literature to 100 nations around the world. So it's amazing. It doesn't take a big church. I grew up in a little country church of 20 people in Kansas. And never dreamed I'd ever be a missionary. But the Lord can reach down and touch young people's hearts, especially on a university campus. And that's where I was reached for missions, on a state university campus. And the Lord led us into missionary work. Prayer is so important, isn't it? Thrust forth laborers into the harvest. And then, of course, we need people. Prayer, people. We have several programs. We have, remember the work team program? This is a program of 12 days, 8 to 10 people going over to Belgium, working in the print shop. We do have to pay our own expenses, though, to get there. But generally, we try to keep the cost down to below $1,000 for board room, airfare, everything, except your own souvenirs. And we have some folders back on the table that tell of this. We've taken teams over, and we'll be going over again next year. Read all about it in this Impressions team folder. You'll see it back on the table. For 12 days, you can spend your vacation in a print shop. Isn't that great? And producing literature, as we saw on the film. We need also young people, college-age young people. We have another folder there called the Christopher Planton Missionary Apprenticeship. For 1 year, a young person, collegian, gifted or trained in graphic arts, can come over and work for us for a year. And that's all a program geared particularly for young people in the area of translation, writing, editing, design, layout. Perhaps you say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a Bible teacher, but I can work with my hands. I can help print, I can run. Right now we need a printer, desperately. If you know any printers who would like to come over and help us. So that's another program, the 12-day program, that's the impression teams, then the missionary apprenticeship folder, then of course career missionaries who can help us and work. And the Lord has raised up several couples to go over. There's someone last year, some are going this year, and we're just thrilled. And they're not preachers, they're not evangelists, but they're graphic artists, they're printers, they work in a bookstore, and just as much missionaries as if you were out preaching the word, because I can't think of any Christian organization or any church or anybody like that of any effectiveness who doesn't use literature. And this happens to be in the French language. So these you'll find back on the table. Prayer, people. And what does it take to print books? What's another P? Paper. Paper. Paper is expensive. It costs about $1,500 a ton. And the Lord has been good in sending in funds to help buy paper. We wish we could sell the literature at a profitable price where you could just replace all the machinery and you could replace all the paper and all that you need, but it's just impossible to do that. So we need paper. And so pray that the Lord will send us people and paper. There's plenty of paper, it's just the funds to buy the paper. That's the problem. If you'd like to learn more about us or keep up with us, there is an Impression newsletter that comes out about 3 times a year. Pick up a sample copy back on the table, and you'll get prayer requests each issue, and just get a little update. It won't keep you too busy reading. You can read it in just a few minutes. There are some envelopes there on the table if you'd like to help us with just a little gift for paper, not for us personally, but for paper. That's the biggest need, and just help yourself to that. And also, if you'd like to receive this on a regular basis, there is a sheet there. You can sign up and leave your name and address, and we'll be glad to send this free of charge to you, this newsletter. So that is those are the three P's: prayer, people, and paper. So take that with you and remember us, Biblical Literature Fellowship, prayer, people, paper. Any questions or comments?